Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about having two of our old friends coming back on the show, folks who are longtime Brain Trust members who we don't get to talk to much anymore, but they were a major fixture of our show for many, many years in their roles, in their jobs, as they worked with the Kiplinger Letters. For 10 years, more than 10 years, Joan Pride was with Kiplinger, and she joined me every week to cover the letter, the Kiplinger letter, and I actually way more than 10 years, I think. And then Jim Ostroff, well, let's get Joan in here. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, it's great to be back. Thank you.
And Joan, folks, she works for the government now, And Joan is also back with us periodically, once a year or so, on our breast cancer awareness show. And so
that's right.
Joan, we thank you for your great service and, of course, your friendship over the years. Jim Ostroff also worked for Kiplinger for many years, and Jim was with me a number of times, in and out, sitting in for Joan and other times, and he's a great resource for us. And he currently is the senior editor at Platts, a division of McGraw-Hill. He's our good friend, Jim Ostroff. Welcome back.
And thank you, Jim, as always.
Say hello to Joan.
Hello, Joan.
Hey, Jim. Good to talk to you again.
Good talking to you telephonically.
Yep.
So we're here at a somber/joyous moment as the three of us, and hopefully folks you'll join us in celebrating the life of someone that I consider to be a witness to a century, a national treasure. And I don't consider that to be 1 ounce of hyperbole, anything that I just said, in the form, in the life, in the countenance of Austin Kiplinger, the son of the founder of the Kiplinger Letters, the co-founder of the Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine, and so many other things. And I've asked these two fine folks to join me as we celebrate the life of Mr. Kiplinger. Joan, I thought what we'd do, the three of us, would go around the horn and just each one of us say something that we remember, we knew about his life. Not our relationship with him yet, but about his life. So, Joan, you want to start?
Well, first of all, I would say that he would not want us to be somber.
No, he'd be very upset with us.
If there's one thing that he was known for, it was his quick wit and his storytelling and always having a smile. But, you know, he was such an important person in the Kiplinger organization. He was the son of the founder, and he continued the tradition. Although he had a career on his own off that, he had a beautiful broadcast voice, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And had
I was always jealous
broadcast.
Of his voice.
Yeah, I know. Before he came back to take over the company from his father and then passed it on to his son, Knight. So it's a great, mm-hmm. especially for your listeners, Jim, I think it's a great story of a family-owned business that's been kept in the family through now three generations.
Yep, coming up on 100 years. Jim, what are your thoughts and your memories of some of the let's think of it as Mr. Kiplinger's CV, his curriculum vitae.
Yes.
What do you know about his life?
I should say that one can be astounded realizing that he wrote about the atomic bomb years before Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Mm.
Wow.
The government never said anything about it, but he wrote about it many years before. He broke the story, and no one knew.
I didn't know that.
And
no,
nobody knew. And I would say, too, here, really dovetailing with Jones' comment, that here was someone who was one of the pioneers in inventing broadcast journalism.
Mm-hmm.
He rose to the top and then walked away over here to join the family enterprise and to do many, many good things there.
There's a great story about his comment, Jim, if you remember, about why he decided when he graduated from Cornell in 1939, why he decided not to go straight to the family business, yeah, which he had been working in as a younger right. person. Joan, remind us of what he said.
I forgot. I know I read it.
Jim, do you remember?
He had said, I didn't want to be a hothouse flower.
That's right.
That is such an Austinism.
Yep.
He went clear across the country to San Francisco.
Yeah.
You know, and worked for like pennies a day over here, but carved out a career and made. And that's the point. He made his own distinctive career.
Yeah.
Without a resume, without any family connection.
Even though he wasn't some kept child with a you know, his dad made him work. I mean, he worked with his dad. He'd worked with his dad earlier.
Absolutely.
But also, I think it's important to remember that he graduated from Cornell in 39, but which was before America got involved in World War II. But when we were bombed by the Japanese in Pearl Harbor, he enlisted in the Navy and became a torpedo pilot. I think the same kind of airplane that George H.W. Bush flew. And graduated as an O3 as a lieutenant, which would be a captain in the military. Graduated. He mustered out at that rank.
Right.
So he was a war hero. He was a decorated war hero.
He was, and, you know, he narrowly escaped with his life and his crew's life many times, but he always brought the mission back, and even to the chagrin of some admiral who said, you know, blankety-blank, you've landed on the wrong ship, and he said, it's like, I'm, you know, sir, my men come first.
That's right.
You know.
So he moved on, and then the late 40s, Joan, he and his father founded the first personal finance magazine, didn't they?
That's right, which was very groundbreaking at the time.
Mm-hmm. Which became Changing Times, which is currently Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine, right, Jim?
Right, exactly.
And so, folks, I would like to point out, folks, that you can go to my site, smallbusinessadvocate.com, type in Austin Kiplinger into the search engine, and you can see dozens of, or many, many interviews of me with him. Because Jim and Joan, as you probably know, from 1998 on till 14, he joined me every year on his birthday to celebrate his birthday and the anniversary of the Kiplinger Letter.
That's right.
Only this year, and I didn't know why he wasn't able to join me, and now I know why. Because he'd fallen ill. It was the reason he wasn't on this year. But folks, you can go listen to this man that we're talking about, and we're going to continue to talk about after these messages with Joan Pride and Jim Ostroff, all three of us big fans of the man. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.